8:55 a.m. The boldness is about standing up for your disability rights instead of waiting for some well-meaning person to give them to you. Today, we have got an incredible story. It's called The Sounds We Make. First off, I'm going to give people a warning here. There's a reason this interview was recorded outside. That means there is some background wind noise. Now we're going to hear from The Sounds We Make about why this was the case.
Woo! Yes, he likes the film. Fantastic. Right.
Very good.
Simmy. Right. Well, therefore, you know that Simmy doesn't speak much, but today she'll be able to give you the thumbs up or the thumbs down. Did you get a chance to watch the little documentary?
The Sounds We Make is about a person called Simmy. Simmy is essentially non-verbal. Simmy is also one of those people, a voice which, if we did not put an interview like this to air, part of the credo ethos of the boldness is to give a voice to those people who usually would not be heard. The story around These Are the Sounds We Make, it's a short documentary on how Simmy does communicate. It won the Access and Inclusive Story at a Short Film Festival. It contains captions. The captions are coloured. But most importantly, it is done where Simmy was very much part of the filmmaking process, where Simmy could express an opinion, make the decisions on the types of scenes in the film and where it was shot. Therefore, the best and kindest way the boldness can practice access and inclusion is to record this interview with The Sounds I Make in a setting where Simmy was most comfortable, and Simmy is most comfortable outdoors. So let's hear from Suzanne Whiteman and Andrew about exactly where they are.
And Simmy is working at the moment, training up to be working, and she's at this amazing place, saying that because we're here, called The Paddock in Mullumbimby. Have you heard of Mullumbimby?
So where The Paddock is, it's actually outside, and that's why there was lots of wind noise. There was lots of animals. There's the sound of the ocean, a couple of dogs that are barking, and this is the environment that Simmy is most comfortable in. For an authentic experience, I have kept some of those sounds in at the very, very start. And then while Andrew Bomack and Susie Whiteman go through and they talk with Simmy in the first half of the interview until the community service announcement, very authentic. It's about access and inclusion, making sure that every person with a disability is valued and included in the decision-making process, giving them the autonomy for how they would like to be portrayed, to make sure that they do have that voice that is heard in the community and the autonomy which the ableistic community takes for granted in the rest of the world.
Yeah, well, it's fine. I can hear perfectly. Yeah, sounds good.
That sounds great. Can you say hi, Raph?
Hello.
How are you?
So, do you like that? Well, the film is about Simmy, and she's mainly nonverbal, and so it's all about celebrating all the sounds that she can make, because she can make a variety of different sounds, can't Simmy? And so it's just celebrating the sounds that she can make, how she communicates in her world to get through life. And so it's really just so important to show the way that Simmy does communicate in life. And and so that she can be heard by the people around her and you know, get on day to day with her life. And he makes beautiful sounds, don't you? So it's, and she also uses an iPad sometimes for communication, and she also uses cue cards. So it's really just a variety of media that helped prompt her for expressing herself.
This film, firstly, as a tool for Simi, who's leaving school, going out into the world, and we thought that a little film about the many ways you can communicate with her would be very handy and could be just a tool for her life. And as we started making the film, we realised that, yes, okay, there's so many ways that Simi does communicate, not just through sounds, but through, as Andy mentioned, conversation cards and through her iPad. And Simi has her own sign language, so she's developed her own special signing, and she also does a bit of interpretive dance, and she also communicates just with her face. So therefore, that led to all the different things that we tried to show in the film. But the joyous sounds that Simi makes, these are the sounds.
Mama.
Can you show or talk Raphael into some of your "these are the sounds I make"? What are some of the sounds that you make?
Mama, woo!
And what else? Now show Raphael you get happy.
Yay!
She's got a bit of a cranky voice. Hopefully, thank you under the chin, but Simi also does it with under the chin, straight to the mouth, and kiss at the same time. Yes, you like being out in nature, don't you? Do you like being outside? Are we outside now? So Raph's asking you, because do you love gardening?
Mm-hmm.
Do you love going and swimming and being at the beach and walking? Yeah, I mean, being outdoors is such a big thing for Simi. So, yes, a lot of it was actually we involved Simi in the creative process of making that film using some supportive decision-making techniques. So we let her decide where she wanted to film and who she wanted to be in the film and what she wanted to wear.
Yeah.
So obviously she wanted to be at the beach and, you know, out with the birds, and all those locations came from where she decided she wanted to be filmed.
So, yeah, we tried as much as we could to involve Simi in as much of the creative process as possible, which also included, like, you know, if we had two scenes that were working beautifully, we just went, going, well, which one would you prefer to be in the film? Then we asked Simi, and we played them both to her, and then she would make a decision. And on that occasion, it was because there was a smile. And you like the smile with your mum, yeah, which is lovely.
Woo!
Yeah, it was probably me, yeah. And I just sort of made it easier for the viewer, particularly if you were not able to hear and you were you wanted to know who was talking, that, you know, it was always the same colour for that person or in the same part of the screen. You had different parts of the screen where different people had various subtitles. So it was all to do with me just thinking through, if I was deaf, how would be the easiest way to know who was talking? I mean, that was, or doing the voiceover for that matter, not always to camera. So that's how I chose the colours, stayed with that character for the whole film. Yeah.
So, Raph, asking you a question now, if I'm allowed to be cheeky, you found that was okay to read, because we spent a long time on the captioning and looking, oh, it's so busy, and then it was like, oh, we haven't got the words of the song. They have to be in a different colour or something. There seemed to be so many layers, and that's why, in a way, we didn't do the audio description as well, because there were just so many layers of so many things happening. But you found the captioning was good. You liked the different colours and you found that easy.
Well, that's one of the reasons that went with the boldness. I really don't like describing them as interviews, because Susie and Andrew and Simi, people are quite at liberty to ask me as a host questions too, because it is a conversation from a disability perspective. I was quite okay with different people using different colours to show the different rates of speech. I believe that because they were appeared in the same screen, I thought that was a great little innovation there. Where people talk about it being busy, a possible idea to consider, and as that it's only an idea, I would have actually added another layer. I would have put a white background and I would have extended it a little bit so that it actually said the name of the person in that colour, or maybe included that in the film credits.
Interesting. Yes, yeah. That's interesting. We could have gone back to the credits and gone purple was, yes. We actually used to say maybe we need a key for this.
Yep, and look at this. And even if there was a key at the start of the show, I am not too sure. And it's about making sure that access and inclusion is extremely important and the ways to do it.
And I love that comment you made about the captioning. That's something to think about, isn't it, Andy?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, whether to have it at the front or the back.
Even silence.
Yes, I think that would be good if you could give us some tips of what you thought Raphael might work.
And on that note, what it's time to do, it is time to play some community service announcements, including the sponsor of the Boldness, Clubmates Travel, because that looks to be a lovely holiday destination where you are, which is?
Northern Rivers, New South Wales, Ballinabyron Bay. We would love you to buy a ticket with the sponsor and come and visit us and see these are the sounds that I make.
Back to the Boldness on 3CR, 8:55 a.m. on Wednesday, the 23rd of October. We're talking with These Are the Sounds That I Make, featuring Simi, Suzanne Whiteman, and Andrew Bamick. Well, look, the conversation is that because the captioning for different people is done in different colours, it would probably be a reasonable idea to consider putting a key towards at the front of the film so that I think it would make it more accessible for people who identify as being deaf or hard of hearing communities. However, because I don't identify as part of the deaf or hard of hearing communities, I really can't speak on their behalf. But I believe it makes the most amount of sense to put a key at the front of the show because it shows that it's going to be accessible at that point. Speaking of which, These Are the Sounds That I Make, it recently won an award. Tell us about it.
Well, we entered in the Australian Film Disability and Inclusion Festival that's held in Adelaide, and it was the first year they had this competition. And in entering the film in festivals, we wanted to enter it in many disability festivals and also in as many Australian festivals as we could. So we were attracted to that one, and that's held in Adelaide. And yes, we won the prize for the best diverse story.
Yeah.
And that is actually the reason that it came to the Boldness attention. The Access and Inclusion Awards are incredibly important in the community, especially one of the things which people may not be aware of, which I'm about to make them aware of, in the big community, because I'm in the big smoke, I'm in Melbourne. A lot of the time in the regional and rural areas in Australia, often they are much more innovative and inclusive than what people find in the city because people work together as a community. What are your observations? Because Northern Rivers, it's kind of like it's a, not so much an isolated community. I would say that it's a community that is spread over quite a large area where more people would be more familiar about who lives where and knowing each other as people, not just as neighbours.
Yes, and we're also brought together by many natural disasters which have happened to us in recent years. I mean, I myself, I had fires at my place in 2019. Then we had COVID. And in 2017, we also had a huge flood. And I think you all know about the huge flood that we had here in 2022. So community is often brought together by some of these natural disasters, but also the disability community here is quite big. And there's lots of different arts events. And I've been working in disability arts here since 1986, and I've noticed now that it's far more inclusive and more people are involved in it. And I think here on the Northern Rivers, we do celebrate diversity and inclusiveness in our own alternate way. I mean, it's part of just what we do every day, you know.
Yep, and with the film, These Are the Sounds That I Make, there's a really catchy song at the end of the film. Was that your idea, Simi, where people could sing and dance about These Are the Sounds That I Make?
Yep.
Yes, can you say, answer the question, Sam? Yeah.
So the song was something that I wrote with Simi in mind, like of how to celebrate the sounds that Simi could make. And so if you've obviously heard the song, so it's basically features various parts of her doing things in life. And then in the chorus it says, these are the sounds I make. And then Simi comes and does a sound, and then it's got another line, these are the sounds I make, and then she does a different sound, and a whole pile of different sounds. What's a good sound you make?
These are the sounds I make. And what are some of those sounds?
Oh! Yeah.
These are the sounds I make. What's another sound? Can you give us another one?
A kiss was one of them, actually. And that's a big part of your vocabulary, isn't it? So anyway, so it was all about, celebrating the sounds that she can make. And it's quite a bit of fun trying to record all the various sounds that were with Simi. It took quite a few weeks getting enough diverse sounds. So good fun.
Is there a video link or a YouTube link to These Are the Sounds That I Make that people can watch?
At the moment, we're not allowed to put up a public link on Facebook or YouTube because we're still putting it into the festivals, film festivals, and film festivals require that you cannot watch it. It's for their audience to come and watch it. It's the only time they get to see it. But once it's finished the festival circuit, which will be next year, then we'll put up a public link for everybody to share and watch and enjoy, hopefully. Yeah.
We entered in many festivals, Raphael, and we are in several disability festivals from Russia to Greece to America, here in Australia, New Zealand.
India.
Yeah. We've had many screenings in India, and I don't know if you know that Andy and I travelled to India to the SAMBAB International Disability Conference, and we're going next month actually again. And so we love the Indian film festivals because they always have a disability section, unlike other festivals. So we've probably been in about at least 10 or 15 Indian festivals, and we've also won some awards there. And we hope on our trip to India to see it on the big screen in India.
Yeah.
We were actually in the Warburton Film Festival, and I did travel down to the Yarra Ranges, Warburton, not far from Melbourne, to see the film there and talk about the film. And I absolutely loved Warburton. I thought it was absolutely such a beautiful area. Yeah, so we've entered in maybe 80 festivals. Of course, we haven't been successful in getting into all of them, but, yeah, possibly half of them, which has been great because you never know how people are going to perceive the film and if it's something they would like in their festival.
Yep, and part of this, Andrew and Susie, would you be interested is if you're going overseas to attend a couple of the film festival, to actually come back on the bowl, to actually discuss what the access and inclusion is like overseas and how you found the experience?
Yes, we'd love to do that. And we might even try and hook in with you maybe. Sorry, just seeing where Simi went to. And we might try and hook in with you when we're over there. I don't know if you've ever heard about that in that disability festival that's in New Delhi, India, but it is quite amazing. So, and we have showed some films there before. We've made, Andy's made a few films in India, and I've also done a lot of work in India. So we do love going to India. I was going to say, Raphael, there's so many people who'd love to talk to you from that festival if that's something that you would consider doing. There's some amazing, like Andy, who hadn't been before, was totally blown out last year. The standard of work is amazing.
They're all artists with disabilities that go to the Sambev Festival, and it's basically you live together, you eat together, you show each other your work, whether you're a dancer or a musician or whatever, and you celebrate each other's gifts, basically.
Creative and so well polished. I mean, you were talking about world-class acts that you're seeing there. You know, like I've worked with a blind dance group there, and the standard is just amazing. Sydney Dance Company, move over. These guys are so committed and so, like, you're just blown away by the standard, and there's people come from all over the world to this festival to perform. That could be, if you were interested, there's so many amazing people. I don't know if that's of interest to your show that, you know, like, that you could speak to from around the world. I think we're 5 to 7 hours behind. I'm not quite sure. I'm just saying that. But it could be even like, oh, you know, we could select some of the people that, and all these people work in the non-funded area. They just do it. There's no funding. There's no pension. There's no NDIS. And it's just amazing the work they are producing. Like, it's just like, you cannot believe it. Andy, it's mind-blowing, isn't it?
It is. It's fantastic.
The standard of rehearsal.
Wonderful.
I mean, they're just rehearsing and rehearsing.
Looking forward to going again.
Yeah. And we get up and, like, we think that we're really professional, and then we get up there and go, oh, my gosh.
Well, thank you very much for your time, Andrew, Simi and Susie. We're literally about to run out of time here. Thank you very much. I'd love to continue this conversation with you. We wish those are the sounds to make all the best in the future. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Raphael.
Thank you.
The Bolinus has been talking with Suzanne Whiteman, Andrew Bummick and Simi, who are the makers of These Are the Sounds We Make. The most important aspect of this interview, it was around person-centred planning, and the most important person was Simi, making sure she actually was as much part of the process in an environment that was as comfortable and inclusive as possible. And the sounds we make, well, at the moment, it's been showing at quite a lot of different film festivals. It may be available in 2025. For people to view it, I can assure you it was utterly and completely amazing. I was really taken with the way that Simi was part of the process and how welcoming Susan Whiteman and Andrew Bommack were. The Boldness will be back next Wednesday, the 30th of October, with an interview with Better Life Communications. And we're going to go out with a song, Jambula, by a band from people of colour. And the band is called Staff Bender Billy. Thank you very much for joining me today. Keep listening to 3CR 855 AM.